Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Storytime, a presentation of La Cosa Nostra Radio to promote the storytelling talents of our family. These stories are unique and original pieces created by our members. Reproduction of these stories is prohibited. Some stories may contain adult content and may not be suited for younger audiences. To preserve artistic integrity, these stories have not been edited or censored. So please, sit back and enjoy story time. The fever grabbed the children quick in just days. Before, they were playing by the creek catching bugs and crayfish. Then, like a thief in the night, six children were struck, and no one knew why. The doctor said there could be something they ate, or something in the stream, and that the illness needed to run its course. He said to give them plenty of water, and they would be fine. It was the third day of the illness when things seemed a bit strange. The fever was still there, and the children were sleeping long hours. But according to the doctor, the children were saying things under their breath. The doctor said that he started to listen to them very carefully. He said all six of them were saying the same thing. He said that there was a great fear on their faces. The doctor explained that he'd finally figured out what had happened to these children. The doctor diagnosed that these children had been bewitched. Days before, Dr. Archibald Archer was a well-respected in the small town of Timmins. He had his practice around the area for at least 10 years. His name was known in every household and even with the local magistrate. He was dear friends with Constable Elijah Shaw, who helped with anything the good doctor needed with the village council. Dr. Archer was considered a hero around these parts. It was mid-June when the first child took ill. Dr. Archer was called on immediately. It was the McGillney boy who started coughing badly and felt warm, according to his mother. His mother stated the boy was playing in the creek the previous day with the other kids. When he said he was feeling off, He seemed all right until the next day when he said he was cold. Dr. Archer saw him and said that the boy may have a case of influenza, which can be deadly. He told the parents how to care for the child and prescribed a small dose of morphine syrup to help him sleep. Over the next 24 hours, Dr. Archer received calls about five other children. One by one, they all had the same symptoms. Dr. Archer seemed perplexed, but determined. There must be something in the stream that had stricken these children. Both the Cabot boys, the Pennington boy, the Hamilton girl, and the Pope girl, all stricken by the same illness. The only thing they had in common was a stream. Over the next 3 days, Dr. Archer visited each child every day. He kept telling the parents to make sure they drank plenty of water. He told them to keep them covered and make sure they slept well. He brought their medicine and told the parents to make sure that they were watched and didn't take a turn for the worse. During those 3 days, Constable Shaw, along with his junior partner, Constable Philip Jackson, searched up and down the creek for any clues what might have happened. They quarantined the stream and disallowed anyone from using it. They traveled a good league upstream from the village where Constable Shaw determined there was nothing to be found. They continued quarantine for the next day. When the diagnosis came. Dr. Archer called upon his dear friend, Constable Shaw. It was at this time that Dr. Archer officially declared the children bewitched. He brought Constable Shaw with him to visit the children. After their visit, Constable Shaw officially declared the condition to the village council and said he was going to be bringing people in for questioning. There was absolute panic in the town over the allegations. No one trusted anyone. Everyone wondered if their neighbor was a witch or a warlock. They paid closer attention, especially towards those individuals who were always alone and acted a bit strange. Just as they were cautious, they were also afraid that if they mentioned anything, they would be next to be condemned. Everyone knew that even a hint at being involved in witchcraft was a step towards the death. Constable Shaw filed the first petition of the investigation. It was for Bernard Cabot and his wife Annabelle, two of the children stricken with a Cabot bowl. The allegations came that all six children had a glaze of fear on their faces, and they kept saying, "No, Bernard, stop Annabelle." When Dr. Archer asked the Cabot boys who they were seeing, they said Mommy and Daddy. Dr. Archer's testimony was very damning. It was enough to charge the Archers with witchcraft. Their trial would be the first, but not the last. Dr. Archer went before the village council and stated that he believed the six children who were sick with the result of six witches in the community working together to curse the village. He said he believed that even the drought may be accursed by these witches. He stated the children had mentioned four other names and that he would take Constable Shaw along when the children became bewitched again. Over the next 4 weeks, Dr. Archer and Constable Shaw visited the children nearly every day. Their conditions would get better and worse as the days went on. Over that time, four more people were charged with testimony from Dr. Archer. They were Nelson Abernathy, Bartholomew Winslow, Annie Mae Wentworth, and Constance Hope, mother of the six of one of the six children. All six were now awaiting trials they knew they couldn't win. The first trial was that of the Cabots. It seemed as if the results were determined before the trial began. The testimony of both Dr. Archer and Constable Shaw stated that all six bewitched children identified the Cabots with great fear. No matter how much the Cabots protested, the judge was believing the testimony of the prosecution. The Cabots tried to bring up other things, but the judge would not allow it, saying it had no bearing on the case. As the guilty verdict was read, Bernard Cabot screamed that Dr. Archer was a fraud and liar. He was gagged and taken out of the courthouse. The Cabots were led just outside the village proper and hanged that same day. As they hung from the tree just outside the town, Constable Jackson just watched as the light seeped from their bodies. In his heart, there was something that just didn't seem right. He thought to himself, what if they were innocent? As of now, he trusted his partner completely, but he knew he couldn't say anything without possibility of implicating himself. He had to have something tangible to prove his hunch. So he decided to dig a little further into this on his own. As was his duty, he removed the dead bodies from the rope and put signs around their necks that read, "Condemned by court, it is illegal to bury within village proper." The next day, Constable Jackson decided to return to the creek. He traveled further upstream than where he and Constable Shaw had searched before. Just 20 feet from where they stopped, he found a broken bottle next to a tree with a parcel labeled. From the shape of the neck and shoulder of the bottle, he could tell it was some type of poison. The letters he could read on the parcel label was Dr. A. The rest of the paper label was gone and most likely downstream was blown away. He went ahead and wrapped up the broken bottle in a handkerchief and went back to town. On his way back to town, he saw a crowd by the hanging trees outside the village. When he came closer, he recognized Nelson Abernathy and Annie Mae Wentworth hanging from the tree. Seeing Judge Winston Graham had decided to move the trials up due to the first conviction being so decisive. Constable Jackson found out during the trial, Miss Wentworth, who was a known woman of ill repute, yelled that Dr. Archer was a client. Judge Graham quickly dismissed and quieted her as lying and irrelevant. Mr. Abernathy, the owner of the local cat house, and Miss Wentworth's boss, tried to holler out Dr. Archer owed him money. Judge Graham had him dead. Both were quickly convicted and condemned. They were brought to the hanging tree before Constable Jackson. That night, Constable Jackson got no sleep. He found out that Abbott and Dr. Archer were neighbors, and there was a large land dispute between the two. Judge Graham was the original judge, and the case would have to be removed himself after it was found out that Dr. Archer practiced paid for some new furniture for the judge's office. He went to Abernathy's, which was a local cat house, and looked in their books, seeing Dr. Archer was a regular for Annie Mae Wentworth. And it seemed the good doctor was getting service on credit. As he looked over the books, he noticed another familiar name on Miss Wentworth's clientele. That name was Winston Graham. Seems Judge Graham was a regular paying customer as well. He returned to jail and decided to talk to Mr. Winslow and Mrs. Pope. His talk with Mr. Winslow was interesting. He found out Mr. Winslow and Dr. Archer recently had a huge argument because Mr. Winslow took his family out of town to be seen by a doctor. He said he didn't trust Dr. Archer and that he'd never give him his business. It got so heated that they went to fists and Dr. Archer was left on the ground with a bloody nose. Dr. Archer then said he would pay Mr. Winslow back, and he regrets the day he met with him. When Constable Jackson sat down with Constance Polk, it was a different story. Mrs. Polk was recently widowed, and her daughter often had difficulty breathing. Her late husband left plenty of money to take care of them both. About 3 months ago, Dr. Archer made a house call for his daughter and gave her a sedative to help her sleep. Afterwards, he slapped Mrs. Polk and forced himself upon her. He told her that her daughter would be dead if she was told. He did this 2 more times when she found out she was with child. She confronted him with this, and Dr. Archer told her that she'd be taken care of. Constable Jackson was absolutely sure that Dr. Archer was behind the fevers and the witch trials. He was determined to save his final 2 innocent lives. The only problem was that he believed Judge Graham was also part of this. He knew he had to be careful. The next trial set end the next morning. So he sent a runner to give a message to his partner to meet him for a shot of bourbon at the Center Tavern. He talked with the owner and secured a private room. He was ready to bring down Dr. Archer for the fraud he was and had all the evidence he needed. Soon Constable Shaw showed up. They shook hands and sat at the private table with a bottle of Tennessee bourbon and 2 shot glasses. Constable Jackson placed the broken bottle on the table and started explaining everything. He showed the court documents in the phone case and the books in the Abernathy. He repeated the stories of Mr. Winslow and Mr. Pope. Constable Jackson stood up and turned and asked Constable Shaw to join him in arresting Mr. Shaw. Wait a second, let's take this through. Have another shot. Shaw hands Jackson a shot and downs it in one gulp. We need to make sure we have everything in order. Yes, the evidence against Dr. Archer is solid, but you have very little to implicate Judge Graham. Jackson, what do you propose, Shaw? Just wait a few more seconds. Suddenly, Constable Jackson stumbled backwards. The room started to spin, and everything started getting hazy. Shaw, you see, you had everything right except one thing. They had a third partner, and that's me. Now just let the poison do its work, and it will be over soon. Constable Shaw took Constable Jackson's gun and put it in his hand. He took his own gun and fired 1 shot into Constable Jackson's chest. Constable Shaw was cleared in self-defense. The final 2-week trial happened, and both Mr. Winslow and Mr. Polk were hung. With the help of Dr. Archer, the children recovered, and he said they were committed to witchcraft. Soon after, the town returned to normal, and everyone tried their best
Yeah.